Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's happening, football fans? Welcome back to the Born Offside podcast, episode 27. It's the end of the football season overseas, but this is a special one. We've got Kat coming back from London and injury. You were out for quite some time. It's good to have you back, Kat.
Longer than I wanted to be, but I am so happy to be here.
You know what? We planned all these welcome backs and all these special things we're going to do for you being back on the podcast. We've parked all of that because we've got someone more special than you. We've got a special guest here today, pro footballer, former youth Australian international, but you've actually pivoted and had a very interesting career path, which you don't hear enough about. You've gone over, made your name in Asia, played there almost 10 years now. Aaron Evans joins us. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Mate, I'm keen to dive into a fair few things. We chucked your photo up on social media, got plenty of questions from young footballers that want to know more about your time. You're playing in the top tier of Indonesia at the moment, so we're going to get to all that in a sec. We've also got Olan Tekkers wearing his merch back on the couch. How are you, big fella?
What's going on, man? I guess I'm just used to not being the biggest on the couch anymore.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks straight,
it's a humbling experience.
You know, I like it. I'm taking it all in. But yeah,
it's a humbling experience for Olan. He was getting way too big for his boots. Yeah. So we've had three special guests now in 3 weeks. Today, we've got plenty to get through because obviously we had a crazy Premier League night. We're trying to digest. Kat, you're still wearing your Liverpool colours. Surprising.
Forever. But
you
got I'll wear this forever, Claude.
Well, you do have a Champions League final coming up. We've got a lot to get to. Serie A title race as well. But for now, I want to go to a good question because we chucked it up yesterday saying you were going to be on the pod, Aaron. And Adam35 sent a question in, said, should more Aussies be going to Asia like you instead of Europe? Now, this is in light of a lot of players, Arzani and that, making these big moves. And then they kind of fade out into the systems of second, third tier Europe. Is it better to play in the highest level of an Asian country, do you think?
Look, in my opinion, I'd have to say yes.
Yeah.
Because my experience through Asia and me obviously playing for the top tier in across Asia for a long time, I've obviously seen the ins and out of Asia and been, I guess, a public figure, a role model for players across Asia. Yeah. Whereas if you're in Europe, you're playing in the second division, third division, fourth division, even whatever division, you're kind of not known, you're kind of a nobody.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're playing one of the top tiers along Asia or across Asia, you are a somebody.
Yeah.
So you kind of get that little bit of fame, you get that stardom, you get that, I guess, recognition for who you are.
Yeah, well, like seeing you on, you know, on your Instagram, you got almost 100,000 followers, blue tick, you've been trying for a blue tick online for quite some time.
We can have a talk.
We can. We'll have a chat later. We'll talk after.
It's a hard one to get to.
You've got that status, but I mean, I don't know if you've, Kat, you've seen any Indonesian top flight football matches before?
I mean, I was going to ask you about this later, but I have watched a couple of documentaries and stuff on Indonesian football. It's super interesting.
You're a niche footballer. That's what I love about you.
I get fixated on things and I want to learn about them.
Yeah.
But I did see this foreign correspondent documentary a little while ago on Indonesian football and how it's one of the most violent leagues in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Tackles.
And I wanted
tackles
to know
or the crowd?
It's,
not, or
it's
crowds?
Actually the crowd.
Oh. The crowds,
but I
yep.
wanted to ask Aaron about that and like what you've experienced, I suppose.
Wow, right, so I haven't watched the documentary, but me being a player and me experiencing, I can absolutely probably agree that the documentary is correct.
Yeah,
I've experienced a lot of things, whether it's inside the stadium on match day, whether it's going to the stadium, whether it's leaving the stadium, whether it's in the streets, whether no matter what it is on the team bus, like there's some things that I've seen that even I didn't, like, it was surreal. I didn't even think would happen.
So the documentary was on Persis Jakarta talking about Jack Mania and how obviously they've banned fans for a little while. They would ban opposition from attending to stop the violence. And I'd this have this one random stat that I remember as well, that about 75 people have died, the fans have died by attending football games in the last like 25 years or something.
Yep.
Incredible.
Which is a big stat.
So I've been there for 5 years already, and I've been told by obviously sources that 7 people have passed away during a football match, whether I've been playing in that football, particular football match, or it's been other teams during the season.
Wow.
But yeah, it's pretty wild. So even for myself personally, like some games, depending on the opposition that I'm playing, whether it's a rival or whether it's a big game, I've had to actually go in police tanks to the stadiums, to and from the stadiums.
Isn't this crazy? That is insane. A police tank?
I mean, proper police tanks. So you can only fit like 5 or 6 players in.
We
so you
think that we've got hooligans in. Yeah, like little Green Street hooligans. This lot are these lot are actually out here like being escorted in tanks.
Yeah.
But there's like this acknowledgement of how violent it is. Yep. But I don't know what if they're doing anything to kind of improve it other than banning fans from attending, which you think is almost taking from the culture rather than trying to find a way to get around it.
Like at times I do believe or I do see that they do try to extend the amount of police or security that are there, but just because of how, I guess, passionate the fans are over there and because the stadiums are full, you can't get enough, security or you can't get enough police in there to, I guess, look after everybody because the numbers are so high.
So for these people, it's just like, this is their way of life, right? You know, you talk about football's a religion in a lot of countries.
Yeah,
we don't see much about Indonesian football fans. Every now and then Australia might play them in an Asian qualification, but football's obviously the biggest sport there. Is it for a lot of people that they work their whole week to just go watch their football? How many people are we talking, like, at your... I know you're moving clubs at the moment. We can't talk about where you're going. Yep. But let's say in your previous clubs, what are the attendances like in the top league?
So, I've played in front of crowds of 90,000. That was at a final.
Yeah.
Or first leg of a final in 2019.
Can say that.
I know.
Yeah,
well.
And then on average, they're proper full stadiums. So, I'd probably say between 40,000, 50,000 on average. And then... that's for some of the games for the bigger clubs. And then if you've got your middle-ranked clubs or depending on how fanatic the supporters are, minimum you'd get at least 10,000 no matter what club you play for in Indonesia easily. And it's even if it's 10,000, it feels like 30, it feels like 40 because it's not just them coming to attend and sitting, eating their fries and burgers and watching the game. These fans are actually chanting. They've got the flares. They've got the drums and it's like a festival.
Wow.
So as a player who left quite young and you haven't played in the A-League, but you must look at the A-League and you must keep tabs on it. And you can see now at the moment, attendances are quite low.
Yep.
I don't know financially, how the difference is in salaries between Indonesia and the A-League, but do you have any regrets? Is there anything that the A-League would pull a player towards to Australian football more than playing in Indonesia? Is there anything better here? Or it sounds like crowds are better, passion's better. Yep. By the sounds of it, financially, they look after you. So why would anyone stay here if they had the opportunity to go?
Potentially the quality of the football.
So the quality is higher in the A-League, you'd say?
From me just watching it on TV, obviously I haven't played in the A-League yet.
Okay.
It's one of my goals and one of my plans to do in the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, just looking at it from, I guess, on the TV, I'd have to put it down to you'd stay here purely based on technical ability.
Right. Okay.
And the structure and the setup and the facilities that you get given here in Australia.
Mm.
Because if you do move across to Asia or Indonesia specifically, it is a different lifestyle outside of football, behind closed doors. Like you get the amazing stadiums, you get the fans, you get the stardom, but the everyday life or let's say the facilities or the structure or the setup is not up to, let's say, Australian standard.
Of course, quality of life, I guess. And you said you want to play in the A-League eventually.
Absolutely.
So, you've played, this is the fourth Asian country you've played in?
It is.
So where did you start in Hong Kong?
I started in Hong Kong. And then I went across to Thailand.
Right.
And then I did a short international trip, like a tournament in Laos.
Right.
But I didn't actually stay in Laos. It was just a tournament through the Mekong River.
Right.
And then I went across to Indonesia.
Right. It's been 5-6 years now.
Absolutely.
And wow, A-League, hopefully, awesome. Maybe the next one.
Would be nice.
Mm. I'll tell you what. Nice. We've spoken to the A-League a lot through our podcast.
We have. They normally listen to
me. I think they listen.
I'm going to have to chat to you after this.
If we get you a move, they're listening. Heard it here first on Born Offside.
Yeah, we'll take some commission from that one. We actually did push for Mariapa to make the All-Star squad. He was on the podcast three weeks ago. Didn't make the starting 11, and we thought maybe we'd missed out. He's in the squad.
He's in the squad.
Exactly, you're in safe hands. Exactly.
Beautiful.
We'll look after you.
Thank you.
We'll look after you. And you head back on Wednesday. You're heading back and signing for a new club. I know you can't say who it is, but how exciting is this, and what can we expect from you in the next year?
Yeah, look, it's really exciting. Obviously, unfortunately, I can't leak the club, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Over the past 12 to, let's say, 16 months during COVID period, it's been quite difficult.
Yeah,
we haven't been able to have fans in the stadium, unfortunately. Mm. So Indonesia have announced that we're allowed to have fans back in the stadium again. Yeah. And there's been a few preseason games that have been played already in front of fans. Yeah. And it just excites me so much.
Yeah.
Just knowing that I'm going to go back there, obviously do what I love, play the football, but also get the fans back in the stadium and get that, you know, that feeling of everything being a complete footballer, I guess, in Indonesia again.
Yeah.
Sick. Well, there's so much to look forward to. Let's take a trip over to Europe now, because as the Asian football's kicking off, now the European season's coming to an end. We've got to start there, Kat. Premier League. Yeah. What a morning of football it was. Liverpool.
Big morning.
So close. City were two down.
There was a moment there.
How did you feel with it? Were you
Gerrard
believing?
Slip again?
Yeah.
Okay. He's been holding. I bet you've been slip holding on to that one for a while.
Like,
I can't
again.
Wait to say that on the podcast. There was a moment there where it looked good.
You believe.
But I did. But I think deep down, City were just too good this season.
Yeah.
I think it was Roy Keane who said, whoever's coming first is going to win.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the back of my mind, that's just been there all season. Mm. And I think that draw with Spurs was just, that was our Achilles heel, I suppose. Yeah. I don't know. It was unfortunate. But
Pep still had to have a dig at Liverpool. Do you hear what he said after the game?
What did he say after the game?
He said something in his interview. He was like, the Champions League is great, but this is the real one.
Yeah. He said, you know what he said? He said it's not fake.
Yeah, that was it.
He said it's not fake.
Pep's having a dig again.
Well, what do you think about this? Because Jamie Carragher, of course, former Liverpool player. Of course you love Carragher. He's been brought into Twitter wars a bit like you.
Oh, God. Stay out of there.
Stay out of there.
It's a horrible place.
That's dangerous.
You know, a lot happened when I was away.
A lot happened when you were away.
A lot happened with Olan when I was away.
It is a dangerous place. You get caught up in there.
We got to fill you in on that. Are you on Twitter?
I am.
Yeah?
But low-key.
Yeah, you don't exactly. engage in that.
I'm not in the spotlight, that's for sure.
Nah, you don't want to be.
No.
Olam's advice would be don't get in the spotlight. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you blue-ticked on Twitter?
No. I'm not even blue-ticked on TikTok. I've not even got any blue ticks. I've got to do something.
Just create your own blue tick.
Yeah, why not? I just put a pretend one in.
Over on Twitter, two blue-ticked individuals here. Liam Gallagher, firstly. From Oasis, of course.
He loves it, doesn't he?
Loves Man City, right? He's obviously had a few. This is after the game.
Yep.
And he said, what you're saying, Cara, now, you bellend, right? he's put up on Twitter.
Such an English.
Right. Jamie Carragher's tweeted back, I'm saying you'll never win the Champions League and Oasis are shite compared to the Beatles. Right? So just ridiculous Twitter chat.
That's a good comment.
It's good banter, though.
Yeah, great banter.
It's not a music podcast. I'm not going to get involved in Oasis or the Beatles. I think we all know the answer to that. But talking football, Aaron, Champions League.
Yep.
Do you need to have won the Champions League to be considered a big club? I know you're an Arsenal fan, right? They've never won the Champions League.
Thank you. Thanks for that. You were waiting to slip that one in, weren't you?
They've been so close. As a Chelsea fan, I had to put that in. But do you have to, you know, you talk Bayern Munich, Juventus, Real, Man United. Can you be on that status if you've never won the Champions League?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
I think to win a tournament of any pedigree is something unique.
Yeah.
And it does put you, I guess, on a pedestal above other clubs.
Yeah.
No matter what club it is around the world. So I do think, and because the Champions League for club football is the biggest competition in the world, I believe that you do have to, I guess, have won that to be able to be on that, let's say, elite status in regards to your football club.
What do you think, Kat? Because Liverpool, they've now beaten you. I mean, you won a title 2 years ago, but City have beaten you a few times now, right at the last hurdle, but they haven't got that Champions League. So do you, as a Liverpool fan, do you kind of brush your shoulder to that and go, yeah, you can win as many leagues as you want. Until you win that, you're not on our level.
I agree with you completely. Yep. I do think that the Champions League has this prestige about it that until the team has won it, that's always going to be, I suppose, overshadow them. However, I do think because of the caliber of English football, if you are a contender for the Premier League title, it almost by default makes you a big club, in my opinion.
Right. Okay.
And that's only because, I suppose, I just view it as the most skillful football that we have at the moment.
Right.
But I mean, City are just not like Liverpool. That's the reality.
I just think some clubs just love it in Europe, right?
Well, the argument is all this money that Pep spent was not for a Premier League because he's already won that.
Yeah.
It was for the Champions League, which has still evaded him.
Yeah.
So people are saying, well, you can have as much money as you want, but you still can't buy the Champions League.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie and Mika Richards were going at it on TV over there in England. We and love Mika Richards.
Loves his city.
he loves his city, but he was saying, he said, it's bigger to have won the Premier League than it is to win the Champions League because you've done it over 38 weeks. Carragher was laughing at him going, that's not the case. So for you as a player, Olan, if you were playing for one of these top teams, would you rather finish your career a Premier League winner like Mika Richards, let's say, or a Champions League winner like Steven Gerrard, who never managed to win the Prem?
I reckon I'd rather have finished it as a Champions League winner.
Has to be.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just because when you look back, how prestigious the trophy is, how not a lot of players have won it in their whole entire career.
Yeah.
I think you have to look back. You can slip on, like, not saying you can slip and win a Premier League, but you can go underneath the radar, not have a huge season, not even contribute that much and pick up a Premier League trophy, kind of.
Yeah.
But I feel like Champions League, I think it's just held in a different regard, really, for players and fans as well, because it doesn't happen often. We remember every single team that wins the Champions League.
It's true.
But it's also tournament football, as in it's knockout, so there is no, you know, getting swept under the rug or going missing. You've actually got to show up on game day, and there's not where you pick up your 1 point there or 3 points there.
Yeah. That's true. I suppose also when you look at the Premier League season and how City had a... I keep hitting the microphone. I'm getting really enthusiastic over here. It's been a while, guys. But City had a slightly easier run to the end.
Yeah.
And I guess that can also...
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Impend on like the way that you view the final win as well.
Yep. Well, Pep's argument was 38 games as opposed to, I think it's about 10 games you need to win the Champions League, 13, 14 games. But these are finals every week. Exactly. You know, it's pressure football.
It's do or die. You lose, you're out.
It's do or die.
There's a lot more travel involved too. Like these are things we've talked about. Things that impact a player's ability to play.
Yeah.
They're tired, there's lethargy, all those factors that play into it.
But you're also uncomfortable when you're away from home, from your home city as well. Exactly, if you are on travel, if you are... You know, staying out of hotel rooms, you don't have your usual sleep patterns, eating patterns,
routines.
There you go. Yeah. So it does play into it for sure.
Let's talk relegation battle because we love relegation football because that feels like a final every week. Mm. Everton survived, Leeds survived, Burnley are gone. You guys got relegation over there in Indonesia?
We do. Yes.
And that makes a huge difference.
Three go down.
Yeah, exactly.
Three go down, three come up. It's exciting.
It is, isn't it?
It's exciting.
Wouldn't you love to see that happen here in Australia?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it needs to be brought in for sure.
It needs it. We spoke about how crazy the fans are in Indonesia. We've seen a lot of instances of these pitch invasions happening in England now. Sunderland went up, pitch invasion. We saw the Sheffield United, Billy Sharp got headbutted by a fan, Nottingham Forest fan, ridiculous. Now, Everton fans invaded the pitch when they beat Palace. 2-0 down, they came back to win. Patrick Vieira kicks a fan on the pitch, right? One of your old former invincibles.
Yep.
Now, I felt for Patrick Vieira. He's going to be fined by the FA and they're going to take some action out against
him.
They're
going to fine
him. Yeah. I felt for him. The guy's harsh. In his face giving it to him. Have you ever experienced a pitch invasion?
Yes. Yeah. Multiple times. Yes.
Is that just a standard week?
That's a standard week.
If
it's not a person, it's bottles getting thrown. Yeah. If it's not bottles, it's drums. If it's not that, it's weird. This is just normal.
Wow. I love that.
If it doesn't happen, I'm concerned.
It's concerned. Right? What did we do wrong? Because this is like now becoming standard procedure over there. They're talking about they need more police action. They need to stop fans getting onto the park. As an English fan, you've been to plenty of games in England. How do you feel about that?
It's a tough one because you look at it from both perspectives. Your team's just survived relegation. You thought you guys were going to go down. It's a euphoric moment for the fans to like rush on and But then it's like, all right, well, there needs to be... It's hard to say, well, there needs to be rules in place because everyone's rushing on there. But there should be just bare minimum manners to, no, I'm not going to go and scream in the opposing player's face or slap his back of his head when he's just lost that game. You don't know what mindset.
But who knows how many beers down these guys are? They're not thinking straight.
Yeah, exactly. They're not thinking straight. But it's a hard one because it's too hard to police. And it's saying, well, if you say it can't happen, then well, how do you control if it happens? If the fans all want to go on the pitch, they're going on the pitch.
Exactly. You know No matter how many police or anything.
There's no way to police it. If they want to go, they're going. So all we can do is really like put out the message to say like, all right, if it does happen, like can we try and like just let the opposing team players like come off the
at
pitch.
At least get them off the pitch.
Yeah,
first.
Get them off the pitch.
There's
first.
Always a shit person that does yes. something stupid. Yeah, and unfortunately, exactly. that's what the media sees. Exactly. That's what people remember. But how many thousands run on and do nothing wrong?
Exactly. Yeah. They're just running out of excitement. Exactly.
Yeah. That's yeah. well, a shame.
As a player, do you like it?
Depends if it's a positive or a yeah. negative.
If
I
it's
guess.
Your fans or their fans, yeah. right? Have you ever caught something bad?
If someone's running at me, I don't really like it.
Yeah.
But if they're running
happened?
At somebody else, yeah. go yeah, for yeah. it.
Not my problem.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Last word on the Premier League, I do want to say is the Golden Boot race. Now, it looked like Salah had this wrapped up, right? It looked like Salah had this wrapped up. All of a sudden, on the final day, Son's caught him. And they've equaled. So they're sharing the golden boot. Now,
are they actually sharing
they're
it?
They're sharing it, right? So they're each
who keeps it for what? How does that work?
No, but there's a difference in their tally.
Well, here's the thing. They both have 23 goals, so they've both been given a trophy. But Salah has 5 pens. Okay. Son hasn't scored a single pen.
Oh, come on. Give Son it to Son, wins. Man. Son
wins. It should go to
give
Son.
Give it to 100%. Son. Are you serious?
Well, honestly, even as a Liverpool fan, I would give it to Son for that.
Yeah. Wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
And I saw that it was
you
like
can't deny the
half of
the
Son's goals were like left foot as well. Like it was like
no,
half.
No, it's almost even.
Left, yeah. left foot and right foot?
Left foot, right foot. Wow. Which is insane.
That's unreal.
Unreal. And they were, I was watching something. It might have actually been the highlight show talking about Kulusevski.
Yeah.
And how he tried to get the ball onto his left foot during the game this morning and just fumbled it completely. Gets it. Oh, sorry. On his right. Gets it back on his left. Scores a beautiful goal. Yeah. And they were like, this just shows you how good Son is.
He's unreal.
And he can just do it. No worries.
First Asian player to win it as well, isn't
exactly
it?
Exactly right. First Asian player to win the Golden Boot in the Premier League. It's massive.
It's awesome.
Good to see we're all in agreement. I'd like to see what our fans think about that one. Send it because I know we've got plenty of Liverpool listeners here. They're probably going to find
Salah.
For sure.
Yeah. 5 pens, you know. Son doesn't need pens to win the Golden Boot. It's a massive achievement for him. What a second half of the year. I think he scored, I believe my calculations are correct, 15 goals in 2022 alone. So he really just picked it up in the second half of the season.
Amazing. Unreal.
Brilliant from him. Let's bring it to home soil. The A-League. If in case you didn't realise, hold on, it's final week.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
It's final week.
I didn't know.
Look,
what was going on?
The semis are good. Yeah. And they've brought back 2-leg semi-finals.
There's good energy in there.
It's made a big difference. Yeah, I know you're away most of the year, but have you kept tabs on the A-League now that you're back on home soil?
Yeah, of course I have. No, I'm interested whether I am abroad or whether I am on home soil.
Yeah.
So is there a team that you follow in particular?
I'd have to say the team that's closest to my heart is Western United.
Okay. Oh,
only because I was training with them prior to going back over to Indonesia in 2020.
Oh. Right.
So they've, I guess, kept a little soft spot in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also prior to that, a few years as well, I was with training with Central Coast Mariners as well. And one of my, I guess, mentors growing up has just taken a role in Central Coast Mariners as well. So they hold a little spot
that's
in my
really
heart
nice.
As well. So, no, it's good.
Is that Lukey Wilkshire?
No,
because I know he's gone there. Luke Wilkshire is gone technical director of Central Coast Mariners. They're really adding. They've, of course, got a new owner now as well. So they're really throwing money and bringing some new people in. It's great to see. Western United, the club you were training with, they're through to their final. First A-League final.
Saw that.
Stunned Melbourne
all the
victory.
Fans were chanting Aloisi. Chanting his name.
Johnny Aloisi. Massive achievement for him. And we had a bit of a question here from Anthony Gallo. Why is no one talking about Aloisi? Victory fans were outraged at the fact they might be getting him a year ago. Now he's gone and knocked them out of the A-League. This is a real success story that we have to celebrate, Johnny Aloisi, because he was doing terrible in the And I know I'm good friends
and
with
him. And he was also like sitting on... He was a pundit, wasn't he?
He was.
Like, to go from being a pundit to... Is it what kind
of
coaching job? Is it his first or
coaching.
Second one? Like
third, fourth. Third, he's had fourth. He's had a few failed attempts in the A-League, but what I know about Johnny is that he went back to Europe where he played. He was first Aussie to play in the Premier League, La Liga and Serie A.
Wow.
Went over there and studied with some of the top coaches in Spain, came back and he's obviously found something new. And I got to work with him during the Euros at Optus.
Yep.
Mate, such an analytical brain of football. Like,
really?
He can't just watch a football game. Yep. Like everything that happens, he's got to tell you why it happened and analyse it.
That's
great, though. Is it, he really is. It. Did you work with... He wasn't there when you were
there. He wasn't there. No, it was Mark Rudin at
Mark
the time.
Mark Rudin was there,
yeah.
A little bit more Brexit style football.
Yeah.
Mark Rudin.
Yeah.
Know all about that.
Pretty simple. But big for Johnny. He's in the final now, taking on Melbourne City. No surprises there that they've made the final.
Mm-hmm.
There was an incident, Kat. I know you're passionate about this. I want to bring it up to you. There's an incident. Stefan Mork. Stefan Mork tweeted this one. He's very, very active on Twitter as well. So there was an incident where a 15-year-old kid was celebrating one of the goals. You saw this, Olan.
He
fell over the fence. Yeah. Police were quick to grab him, kick him out of the stadium.
Yep.
Now, Morks tweeted this and gone just a week ago, another place you were, up at Magic Ground, Rugby League in Brisbane. I'm there were fights left, right and centre.
You filmed one.
I literally filmed the video that went viral.
No one was getting kicked out there.
Nah. The security guard wasn't even stopping.
You know he was But you know he was a Manly... The guy that was in the fight was a Manly great and his family, and these kids were like fighting him.
Oh, really?
I can't remember his name. Yeah. But he was a very well-renowned Manly player.
Do you find, now that you've been going to games, football fan, now you've joined the NRL community, is there a different treatment towards football fans here in Australia?
Oh, 100%. I don't know what it is. It's the hostility around football fans. Again, I think it's the whole... the hooligan. I don't know if there's a stereotype hooligan football fan over here, but I could tell you this now, Aussie A-League fans are as far from like hooligan fans as it gets, you know what I mean? So I think, and then when you compare it to obviously the NRL, where you see a lot of stuff that goes on, you know, a lot of fights that happen or whatever, kind of swept under the rug, the media just kind of sweep it under the rug. But yeah, I just feel like it just... two completely different treatments from the media, for sure.
It is sad. It is sad to see. And it's usually, I mean, AFL's on Channel 7, NRL's on Channel 9. Those news like to just not really report too much about it. Football does get a bad name around here, Aaron. Yep. Just one of the many struggles we face here. But it is a big week for football. We've got a final on. Before that, Barcelona are in town.
Yes.
You're just missing them. You're flying out on Wednesday.
Yes.
Wednesday night, they're playing against the A-League All-Stars. Do you guys get many big teams traveling to Indonesia, pre-season tours or anything?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
But not, obviously, not often.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately.
It's something that as a player, I mean, we had Adrian Mariappa on the show, played in the Premier League and everything. And for him, it was like, he'd never experienced anything like this. He's played in FA Cup finals and he was like, I can't wait. Beautiful. I really want to be in this squad to play Barcelona. Yeah. And Barca just announced their squad today.
It's a big squad.
It is Stegen's coming.
It's a heavy squad. Nice.
Dembele, Dani Alves, Memphis Depay, Ansu Fati, both the De Jongs, Aubameyang, Gavi, they're all coming.
I saw it. I saw they were on the plane already.
Yeah.
On the way here. I saw that before we jumped onto
this. Might have to give Aubameyang a DM. I know he, if there's anyone that's going to sneak out, it's going to be
him.
Well,
he was at the F1 with Sam Kerr. Surely you got some connections for
That's right. Maybe I'll have to pull some strings, because you know what? Olan got a message from the Ivy earlier today.
No, he didn't.
Saying they're going to give him a table on Thursday night.
They were like, bring you and a couple mates down at for Ivy.
I'd love
bring a few of the Barca boys.
Let's get some of the Barca boys there. What do you reckon?
Bring the Barca boys along.
Like Alves, all of that in Ivy. I'm just bringing a few of my mates from Barcelona. Is that all right?
Yeah. Well, I did mention on the show last week, apparently Xavi's got them on lock. Doesn't want them to go out at all. Apparently they were offered a harbour cruise and he turned that down as well. He wants his players to just play and get home.
Yeah.
And Josh Mansell couldn't believe it last week, coming from the NRL culture.
Being devastated. Just coming back off Magic Round. And he's probably
he was like out with him.
The best part of Brisbane's going out.
We were talking a bit about it before the point, but in Indonesia, it's not really this going out culture. Like, the players don't really head out after.
Nah, the players don't usually do it, because football is so renowned over there. Yeah. You are spotted quite easily.
Yeah.
And it just, obviously, there's those implications the day after. Yeah. So not many people do. Although if you want to, you can. There's no restrictions to doing it if you want to go out.
Yeah.
But obviously there could be repercussions later, depending on whether you're having a small night or a big night.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's an Islamic country too, predominantly, is the alcohol culture different too? Whereas like you'd be more so like looked down upon for drinking, whereas I suppose here it wouldn't be an issue?
No, I wouldn't say. I do obviously, especially even at football games, like a lot of them do...
They do serve alcohol?
Yeah, they do serve alcohol.
Oh, wow.
Or they do obviously, as most fans do, sneak it in. Yeah. But a lot of them are...
Learning a lot about Indonesia. Heavily
intoxicated,
yeah.
Which it's okay for them, I guess, if they want to do that.
Yeah.
They have every right to, but yeah, it's not really frowned upon it's not too bad.
I don't know about you two, but I'm fancying a trip to Indonesia here. What do you watch some football in Indonesia?
I am all for it. Let's get a plan. Born offside, taking Indonesia.
Let's go.
I'm down. Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
100%.
Now, we talk about partying, Kat. Massive win for Ellie Carpenter in the Women's Champions League. Now, they recommend if you have a major injury, you shouldn't hit the town afterwards. But looked like she did her knee. Are we worried as Matildas fans?
Well, she got like 14 minutes, unfortunately. It was very little game time.
It was exactly 14 minutes. Yeah. You've done your research. Exactly 14 minutes. She got injured early in the game. She was on the park for that wonder goal to open the scoring. Mm-hmm. Then she's hurt. It doesn't look good. But Lyon win the Women's Champions League against that Barca team, which looked unstoppable.
Wow. Who would have thought? I know.
I genuinely
thought it was a no-brainer Barcelona game. But I think Barca have just been the talk of the town in women's football.
Yeah.
But you got to hand it to Lyon. Like, they do have a great history. They're a great women's side.
Yeah.
A shame Ellie didn't get more game time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously a concern for Matildas, but, you know, she had a moment.
She did.
She'll be all right.
She becomes the first Aussie to win two Champions Leagues as well. Because she won it in her first season at Lyon. She's now won a second
one. So impressive.
Massive achievement. They've won eight, Lyon. They are the most dominant side in Europe by a country mile. So we're very proud of her and all the other Aussies. Actually, speaking of Aussie players, I saw an article come up about you the other day. I don't know if you saw it. It was an article comparing you and Jacinta Gala.
We spoke a lot about Jacinta Gala
on the pod, but that was talking about Australian footballers that leave as a teenager and go and finish their development overseas.
Yep.
So was that just a random pairing, or do you know Jacinta? Or
no, that was a random pairing.
Yeah,
it was an interesting one. Decided to pair us together.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were getting paired together. Yeah. But then when it obviously got released, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. No, it's a good pairing. She's cool the talk of the town at the moment. Very cool.
And it's a nice contrast, I suppose, in like what she's done with her career.
Absolutely.
Is it Celtic now?
Celtic now.
It's really cool.
Very good. It is a good time for women around the game. And the newest announcement, which is, you know, the Qatar World Cup's copped a fair bit of slack for things.
Yes.
And they've announced the referees for the World Cup. We've got four Australian referees, officials that are involved in it.
Okay, you guys are representing.
We've got some decent officials. Okay.
I'm
shocked, but okay, you guys are representing.
Hey, English referees are trash, bro. You can't talk about it.
We let the game play. Play on. Advantage.
That I like.
This is the first men's World Cup to have female officials. Okay. So Qatar actually breaking the mold when it comes to this. It's a big step, I guess, to changing the perception of it. You play in the Asian continent. Yep. Have you had much experience with Qatar as a nation? Have you played there at all?
No, I haven't played there, unfortunately. No. I would like to, obviously, but no, I haven't, unfortunately.
No, and that's a big step forward. We're all looking forward to the World Cup. I know you've got Croatian heritage.
Yep.
So we've got Australia's got massive games coming up. We're playing Jordan on June 1st. That's a friendly match. Then we've got the UAE, who are currently in 40 days of mourning. They lost their leader of 50 years, the country's leader. So they're in 40 days of mourning. So
does that mean they get a holiday for 40 days?
I don't think it's supposed to be a holiday.
Not classified as a holiday.
I don't think it's supposed to be a holiday.
Wait, no, because you know, like, so if the Queen passed.
You're a dickhead.
No, I'm serious. If the Queen passed,
right,
we'd get a certain amount of days of relaxation.
Right.
So,
but it's not supposed to be a good thing.
Do you call it a holiday, though?
Whatever, what do you call it?
What do you think the English would be doing?
Could be getting on the piss, probably.
Yeah. Probably. I can't deal with this.
I thought that might be a thing.
Forty days.
But what happens over that 40-day period?
Well, it's supposed to be morning, so all the flags are down, and you're not supposed. I don't think it's a party time because I don't think the clubs are supposed to be open.
I think it's quite the opposite. I think a lot of things close.
Everyone's supposed to stay home and kind of be. It worries me about this UAE game because they're in 40 days of mourning. That's a new motivation.
Sure.
Yes, focus on the game.
You guys are coming playing the next. Wait, when's the?
Yeah, so we're playing them on June 7th.
It's a big game.
That is, so can you break down the qualification for that again?
So basically, we just got to beat them, and then we got to beat Peru. And we're at the World Cup.
Just beat Peru.
That's it.
Just beat Peru.
That's it.
Seems like
a simple job, to be honest.
It seems like it. Going to be tough. Croatia, though, they're straight there. What do you think of their chances at the World Cup later this year?
Well, look at how they went last World Cup.
Crazy, eh?
To the final.
They're getting a bit old, though, aren't they?
They are, but... like fine wine.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter, does it? Does it?
Well said, well said.
At the end of the day,
yeah.
They obviously, if they are getting old, they've played with each other for a long time. So they've got that chemistry. They've got that recognition, understanding of each other. So, all right, they're getting old. Yeah. But no, I think they'll have another good crack at it.
Yeah.
And then, see what happens.
Brilliant. I mean, this place will absolutely bounce. We've got so many Croatians here in Australia, and it does pump down at the Croatian clubs when they go on a run.
It does.
Another Croatian Aussie, I believe Croatian Aussie, Aiden Hrustić.
Yes.
Croatian Aussie.
Yes.
Just won the Europa League as well. Took a penalty in the big moment in the Europa League final against Rangers.
I saw that.
Wins it.
I saw did he break a record now? Is he the one that broke a record for like an Australian that had won a European Cup? There was something that I saw on Stan Sport. Is it that guy?
I think he might be. I think he might be the first. Because
I saw something about him
on Stan. I'm thinking of Europa Leagues. There wouldn't be many Aussies. I know Mark Schwartz
was about him
on Stan.
There was some record that he set. An Australian hadn't won like a European Cup.
Yeah.
For a long period of time.
Since Zirko Kalacic.
Yeah, he was like someone. He definitely broke a record if it's the guy that I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
sure.
He did. So it was, you
that's
know.
That's awesome.
I guess it takes guts to take a pen as
absolutely
well. Absolutely. In a shootout.
So nervous.
He's not really talked about that much, though.
Not as much as he should be. But he has been our best player last couple games for the Socceroos.
I feel like when the Socceroos are playing, people are talking about him.
Yeah,
It's when they're not that he kind of gets forgotten about.
Yeah. How's the Indonesian national team going? Are they getting better?
Not really.
Not really. No. Is it because you just the foreigners come in? I guess.
I love that.
Yeah. Look, they're trying. They're trying to obviously naturalize a lot of Dutch players or from other countries.
Yeah.
But just unfortunately, when it comes to that level, they're just a little bit behind.
Yeah.
They're trying.
You know what they've got to start doing? They've got to start bringing in some illegal birth certificates. Guys, this happened in South America. Listen to this.
I was going
to
say,
what?
Did you hear this? Done this?
Yeah.
No, who's
latest
done
story.
South America sounds right.
Yeah. That sounds
real, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say another country, but anyway, go on.
Ecuador have had a dream run to the World Cup. They qualified in fourth position, straight to the World Cup. They're going to be there in Qatar. However, Chile have just raised an issue. There is a player for Ecuador, which played 8 matches in qualification.
Yep. Mm.
And his birth certificate apparently says that he was born in 1998, so he's quite a young player, that he was born in Ecuador. Chile apparently have found papers that said he was actually born in 95 in Colombia. He's not even Ecuadorian.
Oh, my God. No.
He's not even Ecuadorian. So
they couldn't even make him the same age, though.
Not even the same age, apparently.
Oh, well.
They're confident
now.
Not even
from the same country.
They were like, just make it untraceable.
What is remarkable about this is when qualifying for the 2018 World Cup, Bolivia played a player that they shouldn't have played either, right? For 2 games. And both those games were 3-0 losses. They ended up being proved, but it didn't make a difference. No, Bolivia hadn't qualified, right?
Yeah.
If they follow that same track, Ecuador will cop 8 3-0 losses.
They will
drop down the table. Chile will go from 7th to 4th and automatically qualify for the World Cup if this is proven.
This is bad.
Bad.
This is bad.
Can you imagine the riots?
Because that means that, like, Chile might have been sitting on this information for a while.
They knew.
They
banked this.
Fuck it now. It's time to come out.
Can you blame them?
They were sitting on that. And there was
probably
like
right,
arguments going on behind closed doors, like, listen, you guys pay us this or we're getting this or that. And then they were like, nah, we're dropping it.
Well, it got me thinking, right, Aaron, like onside or offside is something we like to do on this show. Should a whole country miss out on the World Cup because of one player that played 8 matches? Is
onside.
That fair? Onside, they should?
100%. Yeah. If you know that you are playing a player that isn't from your country, 100%.
You deserve it.
Because it's like committing a crime.
Of course.
Once you've committed a crime, you can't be like, oh, sorry, I didn't know it was a crime. Of course you know it is. It's the same with football. If you're playing a player that isn't even your nationality.
That's even worse.
I mean,
and they know, 100%.
I think they should put the European champions in.
I knew this was coming.
Surely.
Wait, who?
Who do you think?
Of course, it always comes back to Italy.
Don't you think?
You've been looking for a way to get Italy back in the World Cup for like the last 6 months.
It's
now.
Day 50 Three, of me months. Trying to find Claude's a
way. Always looking for an avenue.
An avenue to get Italy back in.
I don't blame you though.
No, it is terrible though. Ecuador might be missing out. We'll watch this space.
But it's also not one guy, right? Think how many people are
would've
involved.
Known.
Exactly.
It's bad.
Very true. Very, very true. Let's go to a massive storyline. You want to talk money in the game. We had a question here from one of your top fans from Twitch, Buller.
That's my guy.
Buller's your guy.
Top guy.
Buller writes in, always great questions from Buller.
Yeah, he's very smart too.
He's very clever. Yeah. Thoughts on the new Mbappe contract at PSG? Is he in the right? Who is in the wrong, sorry, for creating such a ridiculous offer? Do you blame Mbappe for taking it? Do you blame Paris for even going there? Now these are the rumors, Aaron. We're talking about it off air.
Yep.
The rumors are 3-year deal,
yep,
300 million sign-on bonus. So the moment he puts pen to paper, 300 mil in the bank. 100 mil a year after tax.
After tax.
And decision-making authority. So Mbappe will be sitting down at meetings to decide managers, sporting directors, and player signings. Aaron, as a pro footballer yourself, surely that's bang offside.
First of all, is this true?
I mean, this is what's
been
reported.
I need to know.
Yeah.
I want to know.
If it is, let's say it is, that's right. Surely ridiculous, right?
That's offside, 100%. That's insane.
Yeah.
First of all, the money.
Yeah.
That's too much money. But if you're Mbappe, you take it.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. Any person no matter who you are or how much money you have, you take that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one where he sits in on board decisions and makes decisions, that's, come on, that's ridiculous. I don't care if you're 20 years old or you're a veteran of the game and you've played 20 years in the game.
Yeah.
It's not on.
There's a board and there's players for a reason and there's a difference. Yeah. So what if roles are reversed and your players aren't playing good, what, you're going to chuck your board members in on the pitch on game day and you're going to be like, and you're going to shuffle them because they're not performing? Like, come on.
I'd be just scared to make a bad tackle on him at training or something. Can you imagine? He'd be out the door the next
day. That's what I'm saying. I made a video about it last night on TikTok or whatever, and I'm just thinking, like, it's just some madness, the amount of power they've given to one player, one individual.
He's younger than all of us as well.
Exactly. Yeah, he's young. That's, he's still got massive. Yeah. And the thing is, like, it's only a 3-year deal, so like, he could still leave.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the next 3 years, he's still very young.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's more now thinking of how does it upset the dynamic in the changing room? How does it affect everyone else that's going to go to PSG to know, well, how much power does this Mbappe player have? Like, am I even going to be taking notice of? Are the coaches even going to care about this and that? You know what I mean? Because they've really given him, they've pretty much said, like, you are bigger than the club.
Yes, exactly.
That's what that says, 100%. Exactly. I don't understand how negotiations even get to that point.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Where they're talking about having him on the board.
Well, so apparently he agreed, he had terms agreed with Real Madrid. So that's why La Liga have kicked up a stink now. They've written a
full letter. Did you read it? I didn't read it, but that's
unreal.
La Liga are not happy. They've now missed Erling Haaland and they've missed Kylian Mbappe as well.
Fuming.
They're blaming them of breaking the UEFA financial fair play, which I think is a Mickey Mouse rule. Let's be real. That's a card
that you just play when you feel like it.
Doesn't mean shit.
That's the Ecuador card. That's the Ecuador Chile one.
Exactly right. We know it makes absolutely no sense. But I want to talk about, from Mbappe's point of view, Kat. You're Kylian Mbappe.
Mm.
You play for Paris now for a while. You've won the league. You've now won Golden Boot 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, this is a lot of money. But he wouldn't have been going to Real Madrid for peanuts, right? There would have been a lot of money as well.
Yeah.
Should he have just, like, I mean, even if it's half, even if it's 50 million a year, should he have gone to Real for his legacy to actually be a top player?
100%.
Yeah.
I think this is hugely detrimental to his reputation.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, because he's shown that money is potentially more important than going and expanding your career and experiencing football in another country.
But what's to say that he's not going to go to Madrid? He's still young.
Yeah.
He could bang out. It's a 3-year contract. He could still go to Madrid.
This is his time. Injuries. You never know what's going to happen in the next 3 years. Is there going to be another Mbappe that Real want, you know, in 3 years' time?
But you also don't know his mindset.
Yeah.
Like, is he there for a short career?
Yeah.
Does he want to just take the money and run?
And maybe retire early?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
That's a potential as well. Does he want to set up his future as early as possible and get out of the game? Mm. We don't know.
Well, as a pro footballer, I guess we don't understand, but as a pro footballer, you know, you talk about, oh, the money's not really what it's all about, but you guys do have such a short career. Can you sympathize with him for just taking it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely, because realistically, as you just said, football is not like a normal job. You're only in it for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And it also, it's very heavily based on performance.
Yeah.
So if you're underperforming, you're out. Yeah. If you get injured, you're out.
Yeah.
If you work a normal job or a 9-to-5 job, if you're underperforming, you get that opportunity to, I guess, develop.
Yeah.
And then if you get sick or you get ill, you have time off. Whereas in football, you don't have that. And because it is a shortened career, you kind of do. And me being a professional athlete, I'm obviously in the thick of it. And I'm of the understanding that I know that you've kind of got to take what you can get in the moment to set yourself up for the future. Right? Yeah.
Do you think also, I'm just also trying to empathize with Mbappe as you do.
Yeah.
He's French,
yeah,
and he's got the biggest French club in the world saying to him, "We're going to do all these things for you."
Yeah.
There's probably a comfort there too, right?
Have you seen him speak English?
Well,
does he speak English?
His English is sick.
Really?
No, his English is really good. Okay. If you could pull up his English, like when you hear him speak English, you think, "Wait, what?"
Yeah, okay.
Like, wow, I don't really think I've heard him speak English.
I saw a few. There was one clip with him and Rio Ferdinand breaking down his goal and stuff, and I was like, whoa, his English is...
Oh, I have seen that. We talked about the dummy fake one-way and takeoff.
His English is up there, man. So.
So you don't think that would be...
No.
Would like to see
him. All right. Olan has spoken, guys.
Well, we'd love to see him in the Prem, wouldn't it?
I would love to. I'd just love to see him...
Move.
move.
Do something.
Yeah. Like Haaland. I think it's because he's so young. That's part of it.
Benzema put up a picture, and I don't know if this is how much correctness this holds, but it was a picture of Mbappe and him, right? Next to, like, underneath it was a picture of Tupac and Tupac's best friend that apparently snaked him.
Wow. What, Benzema put this up?
Benzema put it on his story.
You reckon they've been chatting? Wow. But I can't wait to have you,
that's what I'm saying. Benzema might have been like, yo, like, you're coming to Madrid. Yo, it's going to be a vibe here. I'm the target, man. I've got you, this, that, and that. And then Mbappe's gone, I'm staying now. Benzema feels snaked. But yeah, he definitely put it off. I saw it somewhere.
Shit. Oh, no. Well, we'll be very, very drama. Interesting to see what happens now. I mean, look, if he stays and wins the Champions League, he goes a legend. And then he leaves in 3 years' time. Maybe he leaves for even more money.
Exactly.
Who knows? It could work out for
Kylian Mbappe.
Maybe
he goes and joins the Man United board. They need some help.
They need more than
they
that.
They need some people that understand football.
Yeah, exactly right. They need more than that.
For sure, man.
Let's talk about Champions League, because we've spoken a lot on the pod about the Champions League reformat in 2024. It's changing. It's going to be 36 teams. It's one big league table. For us, it's a shambles. I don't know what you think about it, Aaron. We're not happy about it.
Right.
They've just announced now that there's more coming now. There's another change.
Oh, no.
There's another change.
What now?
So the Champions League is going to take, apparently, they're going to take, ESPN has reported, they're going to take a tennis format in the knockout stages. What does this mean? Depending on how good. So now, because it's a league table, if you finish first, you go into the knockout stages as number one seed, like tennis.
Okay.
So therefore, number one and number two seed, the two highest ranked teams, can't meet until the final now. There's no more this random draw.
It breaks off.
Yeah, exactly. So they're trying to get the one and two team to be in the final.
Yes. So this whole idea of having, you know, let's say Bayern Munich play Manchester City in the quarterfinals, that won't happen anymore. That's a final game kind of thing.
Okay.
What do we think about it? Seeded knockouts.
It still...
Does that take away the beauty of just having two heavyweights in the round of 16?
Yeah, I'm still getting my head around the whole league format anyway.
Yeah.
Number one. And now I'm having to change again. I like the Champions League how it is.
Yeah.
Just leave it how it is. But the game is always changing, isn't it? I don't know, man. Until it happens, when it happens, we might look at it and be like, oh, you know what? It makes sense. But I'm always, like I said, I like the old format. I'll always enjoy the old format. I'm still not happy about the away goals going.
You don't like that?
I'm still not a huge fan of it. But
even after everything we saw with Real Madrid and City, and that comeback win wouldn't have happened with away goals.
Yes, the comeback win wouldn't have happened. But I kind of see why they did it now. Like I can kind of look at the other side and think, oh, okay, that wouldn't have happened. Teams can't really do that anymore. But it was just the whole away goal thing. I just liked it. The whole Champions League for me was the whole away goals. Like that was the Champions League feel, you know, the fact. But now that's gone, I don't know. Just gotta get used to it.
Thoughts on away goals, Aaron?
I agree. Yeah. I'm all for it. I miss it 100%.
You're a defender as well.
I'm a defender.
You love that idea of grinding out a lead. You score one away and you park it.
You like the whole Jose Mourinho, you know, like the whole go away from home. Park the bus, get a 1-0 win, and away we go. See your boys at home.
That's it. You know what I mean? That's it. I agree.
There's heartbreak in the football world, guys. Oh, heartbreak in the football world. One of our favourite, we've spoken about them before, one of our favourite couples in world football, Alphonso Davies.
No.
Yeah. You didn't know?
No, he's broken up with his missus.
They've broken up.
No.
I didn't even know.
Jordan and Alphonso have broken up. Of course, she plays for PSG. Alphonso plays for Bayern Munich.
Oh.
Heartthrobs of world football. He tweeted,
Canadians are crying right now.
Yes, Jordan and I have parted ways. The rumours about her are not true. I don't know what these rumours are. I actually have to dig into that. She's a good person. I have a lot of respect for her. I wish her all the best and ask everyone to respect our privacy. Olan, you look destroyed about this one.
I'm upset, but I understand. I'm upset. But the reason why I understand, because I think me and Kat were talking about it offline a long time ago. We're saying, like, pro athletes dating each other sounds really, really good.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. But in actual fact, you train same times, right? You play games weekends same times. Mm. If you live in a different country, you don't actually see each other till the off season, or like maybe you get one day off, you're going to fly all the way to wherever she is. You maybe spend a few hours together, then you fly back because you've got training the next morning. Like the actual time that you see each other probably is really small over years and years and years, because like they've known each other since they were like 15, 16. Yeah, so they've been doing this for however long. So you can see why maybe some things didn't work out, you know? So one person normally has to give, which is what Kat said.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I spoke about this with a good friend of mine who played around around Asia, actually. Played in Europe a bit, played around Asia, came back to Australia. He found it very difficult, I guess, to that whole part of it, like to keep it. Because, you know, you're asking someone to pick up and move. Tomorrow I'm going to be here. You know what? I've just signed here. I'm going to pick up and go. Is it difficult as a pro athlete that moves away from home to kind of...
He says as his missus is sitting.
it is difficult.
It would be very difficult, wouldn't it?
It is, for sure. Yeah. It's not easy, but it's a sacrifice, I guess.
Exactly right.
And if you're willing to do it, then you'll get the reward out of it. But if you're not, then... Yeah. It'll crumble.
It's true love. It's true love if it works, isn't it? So let's see what happens with Alfonso. I mean, heart goes out to him. I think they'll both be fine.
Yeah,
they're both very good-looking people with a whole lot of cash. Right. I think they'll be fine.
They'll sleep fine tonight. They'll sleep fine alone.
Alone, maybe. I don't know. You see Alfonso Davies rap? He's released a rap song.
Oh, I heard you saying this. Yeah. Apparently, he's good. He's decent. I'm gonna have to react to it.
He's part of a German rap group now. Alfonso
Oh
Davies.
Wait, I actually did. I did see something about the German rap.
Even the Pie should link up.
They should. The
Pie raps as well.
That's right.
Right, he's actually got bars.
Big time.
Yeah, he's actually got bars.
You ever considered rapping?
Absolutely not. I'll stay in my lane.
Oh, it's good to say. Another story that we mentioned last week on the pod. We weren't sure if this was going to come to fruition. We'd heard that there was a footballer that was going to come out gay in England.
We said this
last week.
Yes,
we did say, and it did happen. Happened the next day after our podcast.
No way. You had a.
We heard a rumor that there was a player
it's Premier League, no?
It was Championship.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Blackpool player Jack Daniels came out. Only
good
the
name.
Second. Yeah, exactly right. Good alcohol, too. Only the second openly active gay footballer in the world, which is crazy to think of the amount of footballers. First one was here in Australia.
Sure. Yes.
And now the second one. But he did say that he was going to hold off until he finished his career. But he said it's the greatest decision he's made because the club supported him. English football has supported him. World football. It's a good It's a good move for football. I think football has really come a long way in the last year since Cavallo's announcement. But look, with the good, there's the bad.
You're going to cop it a lot.
Idrissa Gueye, good player. Centre mid for PSG.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. He withdrew from his team's match last week against Montpellier. It was Pride weekend in France, right? Okay. Same thing last year. He was injured for Pride weekend. This time he withdrew for personal reasons. Now, what apparently came out is that the PSG players have to wear the rainbow letters and numbers on their back.
Oh.
Idrissa Gueye doesn't feel that it goes with his religion and therefore refuses to play that game every year. He's been copping a lot of stick. Piers Morgan came out as he does so often.
Shock. Piers Morgan's always got something to say.
Piers Morgan's backed him, saying if it's his beliefs, then he shouldn't be forced to play in a game that he doesn't wish to. Olan, I'm going to go to you for this one. It's a tough one.
This is really tough because there's both arguments.
We don't agree with it.
No.
But can we tell him? Can we force him
exactly,
to agree with
it? It's almost like saying to him, well, you have to believe, you have to join in whatever we all feel and how we all feel, but it's his ideas and his beliefs.
Yeah.
Whether we agree with it or not, it's up to him. You know what I mean? We can't force our opinions on someone. Is it so right to do it because we're trying to create this movement where everyone feels comfortable and everyone can share however they feel?
Yeah.
You never know. There could be someone on PSG that is gay.
Of course.
And him not coming out openly and supporting them could have just sent them back 3-4 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you don't know what your movements and how they affect people, especially when you're in that public eye like he is, you know? So that's the only thought on it, really.
Has he got a leg to stand on?
Look, I think it's such a complicated issue
to talk
about.
We love attacking
and
that,
on
the show.
I am always of the... There we go again. I am always going to support people just doing what they feel is right.
Right.
Mm. Like, I don't think that we can all stand... I have my perspective. Yeah. I view life the way that I've experienced it.
Yeah.
My religion, everything impacts the way that I see things.
Yeah.
And you can't expect that somebody is just going to accept something. Do I agree with his stance? No. Mm. But does it matter whether or not I agree with him?
Yeah.
He's consistent.
Yeah.
He's not out there saying discriminatory things. Yeah. He's just removing himself from the situation.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is a lot of parts of our society still aren't that progressive. They still don't agree.
And also, it's his religion. I mean, religion's a touchy subject. We can't tell him that his religion's wrong. You know what I mean? If that's what he believes in. When you go play football in another country, like how much of it, you talk about Idrissa Gueye, let's say he's playing in the French league and this is something that French football is trying to push. How much do you have to just adapt to the culture? Is that one of the hardest parts about, you play through Asia, culture might be a bit of a shock at times.
Absolutely.
Have you ever had, endured anything, maybe not so much on the LGBTQ front, but something that's like, oh, whoa, that's different to what I'm used to, and you just got to kind of get on with it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in Indonesia, they're obviously predominantly Muslim.
Yeah.
Mm. And they do Ramadan.
Okay. Okay,
cool. So, and Ramadan's obviously gone through April and May,
yeah.
if I'm being 100% correct. Yeah, yeah. So, I've basically got to live through that.
Okay.
Mm. And through Ramadan, you're not eating, right. or they don't eat during the day, they yeah. fast.
The majority of the team will be fasting.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So 95% of the team will be fasting because they're all predominantly Indonesian.
Right. Does that change Crazy. Your training schedules
it,
and stuff?
It does. So usually we'd either train in the morning, let's say 7 a.m. in the morning, yeah. or we'd train in the afternoon, let's say 4 in the afternoon. But during that Ramadan period, we change to training sessions maybe at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
And then usually they try to stop the league during that period of time. But then if they don't, there's been circumstancing, and I think it was 2018 where we continued the league on during Ramadan, and we ended up playing games at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
Wow.
And that's
very interesting.
Completely different to what we're used to, because usually we play games either in the afternoon at 4 or even at 6 o'clock. So there's a little bit of adapting that I've got to do.
Yeah.
But also on the day-to-day, like during training and stuff, they're very heavily involved in their prayer. So they pray a lot.
Yeah.
So they pray prior to, in the dressing room, they'll pray prior to changing their clothes.
Yeah.
And then once they change their clothes again, they'll walk out onto the football pitch and do their warm up or prehab, whatever they do. And then we'll pray again.
Right.
In a big group prior to starting the session. And then when the session finishes, we'll pray again as a big group. Yeah. And then we'll go into the change room. You know, you have you're your showers, like you do what you do.
Acclimatize or like you're not forced, but like you're having to adapt to this.
Sure.
But they religion. Must appreciate it massively that you do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like I obviously appreciate them for doing that as well. Yeah. And feeling comfortable and enough to do it around me as well. Like they could obviously put us elsewhere, but they're comfortable enough to do it in front of me. So I think the feeling is mutual and the respect is mutual on that ground. So it's fantastic to witness as well. Obviously it's not my religion, it's not my culture, so to see that firsthand, it's amazing to be able to see it as well.
Yeah, well, that's a good attitude to have, and I'm sure they appreciate it. That's awesome. And I guess football, the teachings you will get through football, and it takes you all around the world and you see things that people would only imagine. I've got a question here from Jaden. It's a bit of a left field turn, but why not? He had a question for you. He said, was your favourite Indonesian food? Because we have Indonesian restaurants here in Australia, but I'm sure you're travelling all around the country. Yeah, what's been the best go-to dish that we should all try?
Indonesian food.
Do you eat much Indonesian food?
No.
No, really?
You just cook yourself?
No.
You're having this chicken snitty over there. I bet you are.
No, look, I cook myself or I have someone cooking for me.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't really eat too much Indonesian food.
Right.
But they do obviously have their foods.
Is their food very healthy?
No, I'd have to say it's on the opposite end.
Fantastic. Right. I'll be over there.
Fried?
It's very fried. Yeah.
Deep fried?
Yeah. Deep fried. Oh, it's predominantly a lot of fried.
I feel like Southeast Asian food is very fried.
Yeah.
I love a deep fried.
Yeah. Come to Indonesia, then you'll love it.
Yeah.
But they're obviously renowned for their satay.
Right.
Okay. So I'd have to say satay.
Definitely a bit of satay. There you go, Jaden. Good question though.
Good question, Jaden. Shake it up a little bit.
We do love that on the pod. We've actually got a question here from our producer Shabs, because he tries to get this out of everyone, and we've had arguments on the pod recently about chocolate. Kat, I don't know, were you here for the chocolate argument? Was that before you went to London?
I think it's been
every week that you've been gone.
Yeah.
And it's chocolate, you've just bought it, you have a little bit.
Yeah.
Does it then go in the fridge or in the cupboard once it's open?
Cupboard.
It always goes in the cupboard.
He's a cupboard man.
He's a cupboard man.
Crazy.
What do you think, Kat?
I'm a fridge.
You're a fridge. We're all fridge. That's why we all get along.
I love the cold snuff of chocolate.
Yeah.
So I stand alone here.
You stand alone.
No worries.
But you know what? Majority of our fans said cupboard as well.
Okay.
So
it was Mariappa. I think Mariappa was cupboard.
I think Mariappa was cupboard, but Mansell was footballers. Fridge,
see, it's us footballers.
Maybe it is.
They know something we don't.
I know.
Brilliant.
Try it and you won't go back.
Yeah.
You won't put it back in the fridge.
The problem is it's too hot in Australia and it melts in the cupboard, right? I want it nice.
Hot in Indonesia as well, and I still put it in the cupboard.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That's true.
All right, look, chocolate's chocolate. It's great. Anyway, last one, guys. Before we do wrap it up, it is Champions League final week. It's a big week for all of us. We all love it, but it's massive for you especially because your team's there. Liverpool, Real. I'll start with you because I want to get the biased opinion out of the way. Who's winning and why?
Liverpool are going to win.
Why?
Because they'll figure out Benzema. They'll shut him down.
Right.
He won't get a single goal.
Oof.
And we were talking about this offline, but Modric is obviously a little scary.
Yep.
But I think we'll hold him back as well.
Yeah.
I just think Liverpool have got this. They'll come back after the Premier League loss.
Right, so I'll motivate them.
And they'll just, there's no other partying. Option than winning.
Okay. Ole?
Well, I've got to go Liverpool because I predicted it.
You did predict
it. Predict this. Some Shabs, make sure we get this clip ready.
Yeah.
Liverpool win. Because I go, what did I say? I said Liverpool are going to win because they're not going to win the league and then they're going to focus on the Champions League.
Right, there you go. Mystic Olan.
There we go.
Strikes again, Mystic potentially.
We've all predicted something on this couch.
We've all been pretty good this season. Aaron, it's time for you to predict. Yep. Real Madrid or Liverpool?
Real Madrid.
Yeah?
I'm going opposite to the two of you.
Why? Real Madrid?
Benzema. Yeah. You're not figuring him out.
We're not figuring him out.
Nah, you're not. Especially after him doing that penalty and just doing that panicker.
He's so confident.
Well, Salah doesn't have to worry about Ramos.
Yeah, exactly. There's no Ramos to worry
about.
Thank
God for that.
But also, Real Madrid have been there before.
Yeah.
They've done it.
Yeah.
So, again, it's a tournament.
Yeah.
You've got to be there. You've got to, I guess, you've got to have the experience of that.
Yeah.
And they've got it. They've done it. So, I believe that
Liverpool have done it too.
Liverpool have done it as well.
Yeah.
They've done it too.
I agree with Aaron. I do agree with Aaron because I think this Real Madrid, you talk about Benzema, let's just talk about one man. I think this is the single biggest game of his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, he can go down as an immortal footballer because he's had an amazing season.
Yeah.
I think if he wins this game, he wins a Ballon d'Or.
Okay.
I think. Because I don't think anyone...
Well, that's the missing element for him, right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone...
You are right. This could be the most single most important game of his career.
I think it is. Because every other time they've been in the Champions League final, all eyes have been on Ronaldo.
Yep. And Ronaldo. Yep.
This time, all eyes are on him.
It's all about him. Mm. It's true.
He wins this. I think he gets that Ballon d'Or. Mm. He can officially enter the talk of Van Basten, the talk of R9, and Karim Benzema.
Yeah.
I think he gets on that level if he wins this game. So I think he's just got the bottle. You know what? I've seen your Instagram game, Aaron. You've got a great Instagram game.
Yeah.
Karim Benzema, he does those vlogs.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? He's one of the most fashionable guys.
I think
I want to see an Aaron vlog, Karim Benzema style, because you've got the drip, you've got the photos.
Okay.
We need some Benzema style vlogs.
You got a stylist as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's just doing that all himself. He's got a stylist
just
now.
Just me.
I thought
we were going to bond on that. Yeah. I've got one as well. Oh, no, okay.
I can get one if you want. Then we can bond.
The difference is you need one.
That's the difference.
He's got it on lock without one.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be a great final. It's a divided couch, 2-2, but either way, what a game, and we'll see if we have a very happy cat or if we have a sick cat again.
Oh,
if we're gonna start,
I won't be sick. I'm showing up.
Start planning for a guest again.
Love that.
But it will be a big week of football. And of course, we'll be back as always next week to wrap it all up. Want to say a big thank you to everyone that's joined us on the pod today, all the questions. And of course, to you, Aaron, heading over on Wednesday.
Yep.
I guess for Australian football fans that maybe have just heard from you for the first time today, can't watch the league here in Australia.
Yep.
Legally, I'm sure there's some streams you can probably find it.
Yeah.
But what would you say is the best way for our Aussies to follow your journey?
Obviously, social media is a big aspect in life nowadays.
Yeah.
So I'd say obviously follow me through my social media platforms. I've obviously got them all. I update them quite frequently.
Yep.
And then if you ever want to reach out to me, I'm quite active in responses as well. And I'm happy to share those links.
Yeah.
And if you want to watch my games, I'm more than happy for anyone to watch them.
Buzzing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Especially for young footballers. Me and Olan were talking before the pod. All those young footballers that listen to us, we know there's plenty of you. Make sure to give Aaron a follow. Aaron Evans, look him up on everything. Blue tick, that's how you'll find him, Olan. And send him a message because, you know, for a young footballer, sometimes the pathway can seem a little bit blurry. It's like, how am I going to get to Europe? I have to get to Europe. You don't have to. Aaron's proof in the pudding that you can go through Asia and have a super career as well, which is still going. Aaron, we wish you all the best in the season coming up. New club. Can't wait to see the announcement officially online. And thanks so much for joining us on the
podcast. Thank you, Nike. I appreciate it. Can't wait to be back.
No worries, mate.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.